Archdiocese of New Zealand
of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents
In the Narthex
with Father Paul Patitsis.
Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church.
And now your host, Father Paul.
We're going to continue our discussion with Mr. George Nicola today, and I hope that you can stay tuned. What a blessing. We're back again. George, are you still with me?
I'm still with you. Never going anywhere. Not going anywhere.
Wow.
I'm right here.
This is
excellent.
Program number four.
That's beautiful. No, I'm enjoying it. Really enjoying it.
Oh, me too, George. You know, we've talked about so many things, and I we'll see. You know, I mean, the interesting thing is to see the kind of the feedback from our listeners, and I hope that we get good feedback on this, because... You know, obviously, if people like it, we can do more of it.
I'm very keen. I mean, like I said, I'm just a person who struggles with faith.
Yes,
I was brought up Greek Orthodox, and I love my religion. I love my culture. I love being Greek.
Yes,
I love everything about it. But I question my faith.
Yeah,
I want to be closer with God.
What George, that's very helpful, because no matter what faith someone grows up, I think people come to a point where they question. And I want to know, you know, if you don't mind sharing, what do you think you question the most about God or about your relationship with Him, or if you don't mind sharing? If you do mind sharing, then certainly we can talk about something else.
Like I said, just like past experiences and stuff like that. You know, whereas I'm the type of person who always looks for evidence.
Mm.
I always want to hear physical evidence.
Mm.
Physical evidence of His existence.
Yeah.
And, you know.
You know, it seems that every time...
It's faith. It's obviously faith.
Yeah.
Lack of.
Yeah, I think even when we have things that could be understood as evidence, physical evidence.
Yeah, miracles.
Most of the time people will question those too.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's really not very helpful. Like one example, the Shroud of Turin.
Sure, okay. Yeah, interesting.
Well, it's a very amazing fabric and very, you know, how did the image form on it? And the more you study it, the more you realize that this is a miraculously formed garment or image. Because, I mean, I'll just tell you one tiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
The image is formed on a piece of fabric that is laying on a person. So the image is actually in three dimensions.
Yeah.
Now, what artist from the 1400s or something, when they say that it was created, could draw something that even only now with our digital technology we're able to understand the three-dimensionality of that image?
Yeah.
They could see, I mean, it's amazing because... It was a cloth draped over a person.
They said it was like half linen, half cotton. It was amazing that they even restored it. They're saying that they could probably even date it back further.
Yeah,
the shroud.
I think, I mean, again, you have to, and everybody should do their own research, but the shroud, in my opinion, is one of the most amazing relics of the church. But the other thing that's very interesting is that the image itself, they say, was formed by a very bright, possibly by a very bright light. That because it only scorched the very outer portions of the fabric.
Okay.
So if it was any, it would have been a very bright but very quick light. So it only had enough time to just scorch the outside, because if it was any longer, the whole fabric would have caught fire.
Okay. You know?
But it's just very quick and just like, and I mean, I said that much slower than probably it happened. This shroud is perhaps one of the most amazing proofs, let's say. But again, because God doesn't want to be proven.
Yeah.
I mean, we have the testimonies of two eyewitnesses, John and Matthew.
Yeah.
And then through their disciples, the eyewitnesses of Mark. Mark was an eyewitness that is to say, he records from Peter. And Luke, who talks to Peter and also to... and to other disciples too. So, and even to the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
Luke even interviewed the Virgin Mary. So we have these eyewitness accounts, but we say, oh, well, you know, how do we know? How do they know it wasn't this or wasn't that and it wasn't changed? So no matter how much you try to make it obvious to someone, they have room for doubt. And that's fine. I mean, people are going to doubt.
Yeah.
And there's that expression, doubters are going to doubt. You know?
Sure.
But there's also reasons to believe. You know,
yeah.
One of the things that I find the most exciting about the Bible is that if this was a conspiracy, somebody's trying to put together this new religion to kind of unseat other religions, which would be absurd, but let's say that they were doing that, would people go through all the martyrdoms and all the deaths for something so fake, you know, that didn't, didn't mean anything to them, just so they could put some other religion down? I mean, does that make any sense as a conspiracy?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if this is a conspiracy and they just, you know, they massage the text to make sure that it made Jesus look good or something, would they really put so many things in there that make the disciples look stupid?
Sure.
There's
sure.
a lot in there that make the disciples, especially Peter. Peter never looks very good in the Gospels. You know, he's the one who's doubting. He's
the one who's doubted them.
Who's, you know, Christ has to say to him at one point, "Get behind me, Satan." He says to Peter. Peter denies him three times.
He denies him three times.
So, and all of that comes out in the Scripture.
Yeah.
It's not hidden.
Yeah. Tell me one thing, Father. This is a very unusual, and I'm going to throw you a question now.
Okay, good, good.
And this might be very unusual for the listeners and all for the audience out there. How important is the Virgin Mary in our Greek Orthodox faith? One, because I just want to just get one thing straight. I mean, I was done a bit of research, and the Virgin Mary is only mentioned 19 times in both Bibles. 19 times. Lord is mentioned 8,000 times. Yes. Jesus may be 800, 900 times in the Bible.
Yeah.
Even like Mary Magdalene or these other Mary and Martha, mentioned more times than the Virgin Mary. This is one question I've got here, and this is
okay. No, that's a good question. I think what you know, the simple answer I would say, and of course it can be discussed at a higher and lower level, but
definitely
we are on the radio, so we only have a little bit of time. But what I'd say is, just as a simple answer, is if we take her words in the Gospel of Luke as being authentic, that is to say that she really said those words, and we take the fact that, if we believe that, as the Scripture explains to us, that it was a virgin birth, then we have a woman who has conceived in her womb God become man.
Yeah.
So there's nothing higher that has ever happened in all of human history, nor will ever happen, because the Church doesn't believe that Jesus Christ became incarnate in the Virgin Mary, and he's going to become incarnate in the, you know, Virgin Wilhelmina sometime later, and the Virgin Frederica at some other time. But he's always, he became incarnate only one time for all of human history, whatever it is, for however long human beings have been on the earth or however long they will be on the earth. So here she gives him the gift of her own human flesh, her own human DNA, her own human blood.
Yeah.
You know, as she nourished herself, like any infant, she was nourishing him. So he is really and fully human. So that meant he was an embryo. He had to grow and live in that very vulnerable place as an embryo in the womb is. And if, even as a fetus, how vulnerable. If the mother isn't careful, she can injure it, or she can, you know, cause a miscarriage. I mean, of course, I say that with knowing that that's very hard to do, but certainly if you're not careful, or God forbid you're in an accident of some sort, things can happen. So the Virgin Mary is someone who safeguards that life.
Okay.
And then we hear from the Gospel of Luke how it is that when Jesus went to the temple at 12 years old and he's chatting with all the, you know, she says, "Didn't you know your mother and father would be looking for you?" And he says to her, basically in response, "Didn't you know I'd be in my father's house?"
Wow. Beautiful.
In other words, you know, don't try to, you know, better.
Yeah.
Joseph isn't my father. I'm not going to criticize him because he's caring for me and treating me as a father should.
Yeah.
And I respect that. And I will always respect that. But my father isn't Joseph. My father is God.
So what we're saying here, Father Paul, is that basically Mary is a step down from Jesus, from God, from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's hard to put in words because there's God and then there's human beings. But but as a joining place between God and man, we have to say the Virgin Mary is one of those places.
Okay,
because she actually incarnated God in her flesh. Now that wasn't her own choice. Mm-hmm. She was chosen.
She was.
She could have said no, according to the Church teaching anyway.
Okay.
She says those very important words, "Let it be done to me according to your word, she says to the angel.
Okay.
Let it be done to me according to your act of word. So she accepted that. And that's a really important thing to say, because, of course, she could have said, I mean, again, in the Orthodox teaching, she could have said no. So she uses her freedom to accept that.
She had a choice.
And then from that comes the restoration of the human nature.
Okay.
First with her, but then through her and into Christ, through to the whole world.
Okay.
So Christ's nature is he sanctifies Christ in his own flesh. He sanctifies the human nature. But then all of us then, who are from a root of sin, if you will, if we think that Adam and Eve's sin kind of carries on to the rest of us just through, just being related to each other, then how do we break that? So we have Christ says, look, I'm going to refashion man and give it a fresh start. So he gives us the opportunity to take on his humanity.
Yeah.
And that's what we do through baptism, by the way. So the Virgin Mary is very, very important. But you won't find a lot about her in Scripture because the point is, although she's so important, she's only important because Christ is important.
Okay.
So we don't want to put her in a place equal to Christ.
No.
Even though we love her.
Sure.
We always want to understand that Christ is our Savior.
Sure.
But nonetheless, Christ as Savior showed us how much he loves humanity.
Okay.
And he showed us first through the Virgin Mary.
Okay, through the Virgin Mary.
So, and then he shows us...
Nice answer, Father.
Yeah,
I understand.
Like...
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I was just interested because it was, she's not mentioned that many times, and I was just quite surprised, and I just wanted your opinion on that, that's all.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate you asking me that. And as you know, all of you who are listening, this is our radio program, the In the Narthex of Father Paul, or Father Pavlos, and we've been enjoying the visit of George Nicola these past 4 weeks, and he's doing a great job asking questions.
I've enjoyed it too, Father.
And really, George,
thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Because, there's so many things we don't often ask because we're afraid.
Of course.
So I said, George, ask whatever you want to ask.
With you, Father Paul, I'm never afraid to ask anything. I can ask you anything, I've always been comfortable. In the 7 years that I've known you,
I've always
been very comfortable with you. I thank you.
Well, I hope that our listeners also feel comfortable, not just with me. I'm just one little speck in the spectrum of faith. But all of us to know that God is welcoming all of our questions and all of our challenges.
Of course.
And he's not afraid of us. Sometimes we're afraid of God. But God isn't afraid of us. And we should give him an opportunity to get to know us better. Let me put it that way. He knows us.
I understand.
Deeply, but I mean it in a different way.
Yeah.
To get to know us. In other words, we should reveal ourselves to him slowly, slowly, so that we have a relationship with him.
Nice.
And not to hide anything from him of who we are. Because after all, he doesn't really know it already. So I want to tell you one little story, though,
sure.
Before we go. We started talking, 4 weeks ago, we were talking about St. Paisios.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you a story that isn't written in any books, but it'll be now on the radio. So when I was I was 17 years old, I went to Mount Athos. I met this holy St. Paisios.
Yeah.
Before I met him, I hope I have enough time to finish this story. Before I met him, I met a man who had met him.
Okay.
And this man lived in Germany. He was raised in Germany of Greek background, like I was raised in America of Greek background. And he had fallen into a resolute life and had gotten to the point where he wanted to take his life.
Wow.
And a friend of his said, you're going to take your life anyway. Why don't you go to Mount Athos? You might meet somebody there that makes a difference. And if it doesn't, then you die a week later. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
It was kind of an interesting way to respond to them. So he thought that made sense. What difference does it make if I die this week or next week? I can wait a week. So he went down to Mount Athos. He met St. Paisios.
Yeah.
And St. Paisios said he could see him, and he could know him, having never met him before. He says, how are you from Larissa? He says, how do you know I'm from Larissa?
Wow.
He says, I can see it from your eyes.
That's incredible.
So in that little discussion, he said, why are you? And the man said, I couldn't look at him anymore. He says, why can't you look at me? He says, you're afraid that you're embarrassed of your sins? He says, yeah. He says, I know what you did. And he told him all his sins that he did in Germany.
Incredible.
How does St. Paisios, who's living in Mount Athos, know about what he did in Germany? But he could see it in his written on his soul.
Okay.
And so he said that to him. And what was the end result? The man let go of all those things. He repented.
Yeah.
And he was set free. He was happy again.
Sure.
So sometimes we think that getting to know God is going to be something horrible, but it could be the most beautiful thing.
Of course.
Because we're set free from all kinds of crazy ideas that are in our head, that God doesn't love us, or the world is a pointless place, or that there's no meaning in life. And we find that suddenly we're in a place of love and paradise and joy.
I tell every, confession, even Father Confession.
Yes.
I mean, that's one of our ones. Yeah. You've got to confess, even if it's not to you, Father Paul, just to God.
I agree with you. I remember that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again, George. It's been great. We've gotten through four beautiful episodes, and we thank the staff, of course, Planet FM, because without them, we couldn't be doing what we're doing today.
For sure.
We appreciate that. So all the best to you, especially to you, Joe, if you're listening. So all God's blessings on you, and we look forward to seeing you or talking to you again next week.
And so the
As always, this has been a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Patitsis of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located here in lovely Western Springs in Auckland. And our program is a ministry of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, which is headquartered in Wellington and whose arch shepherd is His Eminence, Archbishop Amphilochios. We thank you for listening, and we ask God's blessings on you and on yours. Thank you.